A big change could be coming in how we shop for health plans under Obamacare. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Shopping for health care plans could soon get more transparent. People in the market for coverage under the federal health care reform law could already search by deductible, by out-of-pocket expenses, and they can check for individual doctors. But a key question consumers have had has been a bit of a mystery. How big is that network? Are there lots of doctors and hospitals or a few? But that's about to change. According to an advance report in the New York Times today, Marketplace's Annie Baxter has some details. Annie, what prompted the move?
Well, network size is an issue with plans available under the healthcare law. A report last year from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation said the number of doctors available in many healthcare plans is shrinking under Obamacare. And David, these narrow networks are a way to contain costs. Health insurance companies can keep patients away from high-cost providers, and they can negotiate lower rates if they can guarantee the hospitals and doctors in that narrow network a greater volume of customers.
All right, narrow network, but a lot of people don't like having a narrow network.
That is very true. And, you know, they can run into high out-of-network costs to see their preferred doctor. The new rules coming out this week don't actually change that situation, but they'll give consumers more of a heads up about the size of a plan's network by labeling it. Consumers will then be able to compare plans within a particular geographic region based on network size.
Now, there's another shift with health care reform right now. Consumers will be less happy about this one. Some may have to pay more out of pocket for coverage.
That's right. Out-of-pocket costs like deductibles and co-payments will reportedly go up next year by $300, exceeding a $7,000 ceiling for individuals for the first time. Consumer groups aren't happy and say the costs are too high for people who need a lot of care. However, people with low incomes can get some discounts that would reduce their out-of-pocket costs.
All right, Marketplace's Annie Baxter, thank you. Let's check the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.9%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 3-4% range. The CSI 300 in Shanghai went up 0.3%. Hong Kong went down ever so slightly. In the U.S., the 10-year Treasury yield is up at 1.9%. Shake Shack is scheduled to report profits later today. Sales have been up and there are more stores open, but the stock price over the last year has been a roller coaster. The stock was less than $50. It went to $90 last May, but this morning it's under $42 a share. That is to say, it's less than half what it once was. Nova Safo reports.
Shake Shack is a popular New York franchise that's expanded to 86 locations worldwide. It's garnered headlines for people waiting in long lines just for a bite. Those headlines, plus its beloved status among New Yorkers, drove up the company's stock when it debuted a year ago.
This is one of the best examples of hype pushing the stock performance.
Because, says industry consultant Aaron Allen, valuing the company in the billions when it's tiny compared to McDonald's was optimistic.
Hamburger consumption in the United States is not increasing. In fact, our consumption of beef has started to decrease.
So Allen says in order for Shake Shack to continue to grow, others have to shrink. Still, people are turning from fast food to so-called better burger joints, says consultant David Henkes of Technomic.
The consumer is in a position right now where they're saying they're willing to pay a little bit more for a very high-quality burger in a little bit more of an upscale but still fast environment.
So Henkes says there's hope for Shake Shack, but also plenty of competition. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Last November, the failure of two dams in Brazil to control wastewater led to one of the worst environmental disasters in that country's history. 19 people died, and Brazilian police have now said the senior officials of that company running the dam, Samarco, should be tried for murder. Samarco reached a settlement with Brazilian authorities last week, requiring a payment of at least $2.5 billion over 14 years. Marketplace's Andy Euler has the story.
It's been a tough couple of years for Brazil. The country's currency is almost a third of what it was last summer. The oil industry has been mired in scandal involving the country's president. Estelita Carazzi is a correspondent for Folha de São Paulo. She was at a news conference about the scandal when her newspaper called to tell her about the dam collapse outside the town of Mariana.
In the moment that Mariana happened, we had like this huge political crisis. We were only talking about impeachment and corruption. And so, you know, this was really not the focus of the the gatekeepers, you know, of the country, like the press or the politicians.
Amadeus Romano is a partner at Tendencias, a Brazilian economic consultancy. She says Brazil's economy is hurting right now, especially the commodities markets.
The majority of our commercial balance comes from exporting our commodities, agricultural and the mining industry. And oil is also really important.
Drastic drops in the price of iron ore and crude oil have hurt. But Brazilian mining operations, like Samarco, the company responsible for the destroyed dams, need to keep mining. Environmental groups said Samarco ignored warnings and it kept producing. They argue the government allowed it to happen because it needs the mining industry's revenue and jobs. Paulo Sotero is director of the Brazil Institute at the Wilson Center.
This is the implication, that we were rushing, we were under pressure to increase production, and we did not take the necessary precautions. We didn't listen as we should to the people that were warning about a possible disaster.
But, Sotero says, it's important that Brazilian prosecutors held the mining company responsible and got it to pay restitution. Despite the tragedy, he thinks the subsequent action signals a major shift in environmental policy in Brazil. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And there's news. United Airlines CEO will be back to work next week, just 2 months after getting a heart transplant. Oscar Munoz, who is 57, had a heart attack last fall soon after getting the CEO and president's job. The previous boss had left amid a probe into corruption at New York area airports. United last year had one of its most profitable years with a strengthening U.S. economy and low fuel prices. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.